Thank you for joining our conversation on Wow Whispering. I am your host, Diane A. Curran, and it is delightful to be with you. Wow is spontaneous, open, expressive. Whispering is intimate, still, receptive. In our modern age, moments rush in or away like quicksilver. Do we even make the time to savor a wow or reflect on a whisper, to notice and value such gifts? We're ready to do just that with you right now. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone in the world of podcast listening, because you know what? We're a 24/7 existence nowadays. And so I am thrilled to be welcoming my very first guest on our brand new podcast called Wow Whispering. And she is somebody who has been very gracious to get to know me in the world of podcasting and being on air and doing all kinds of goodies. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But for just right now, before I formally introduce her, I'd love to say hello to Melinda Wittstock. How are you today?
Hey, Diane. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm doing great.
Wow. Well, I am excited to have Melinda here, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her because she has done so much in life, and she's really already expanding her adventures beyond what she's done. But let me tell you a little bit. So Melinda Wittstock is a four-time serial entrepreneur, and that includes innovating successful seven-figure businesses. I'm going to say that again, innovating successful seven-figure businesses. That is an amazing thing. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And she does this across interactive media, using crowdsourcing and technology, and she's an acknowledged visionary and a very powerful connector. I can tell you about that. Melinda is also on a mission. What she wants to do, and she is really taking steps to make this happen, is to advance women in entrepreneurship. She hosts a widely acclaimed and fast-growing podcast on entrepreneurship that is really at the intersection of personal and business growth, and it's called Wings of Inspired Business. Oh, doesn't that sound fabulous? As well as being the creator and host of Wings of Success Training, Mentoring, and Coaching, a platform for women in business. She's CEO and founder of Verifeed, which is a social intelligence platform which helps her clients get a measurable return on authenticity from their social media engagement. And don't we all need that, those of us who are online? Melinda is an avid world traveler. She's an explorer, a fun-loving maverick, and really, this is important. She's a single mom, not only to two teenagers, but also a golden retriever.
Yeah, the golden retriever is, she's my sage, my sensei. She keeps me in the moment, like in the now.
Oh my gosh. And there's a reason dogs are our best friends for exactly that. How marvelous. And you know, Melinda also, just let me say one more thing here, which is Melinda has a love of meditation, yoga and consciousness and intentional living. And why I want to really highlight that for Melinda, and I want to ask her to kind of tune into this a little bit for us, is that she's clearly a very active person, engaged in the world, out there, feet on the ground, happening with things, but also goes inside and taps into the source of creativity. So Melinda, I'd love to hear a little bit about what this brings to mind as I kind of review your life in fast motion here, what you find yourself tuning into in terms of what you've done and what you're up to.
Oh, well, what a wonderful question. I mean, one of the things that I've learned along the way in my journey as an entrepreneur and as a journalist, as a TV anchor, all the things that I've done is that the success that we manifest is in our own minds. In other words, you can't get anywhere that you don't believe that you can get, that you can't visualize. So one of the things that I learned really early on in my life, I think I did this very effortlessly very early on. I remember in college telling all my friends that I was going to go to London and be a journalist on the Times of London. And everyone to a person said, you can't do that. Like, what makes you think you can do that? I was like, I don't know. Why can't I? Right. And I did. I mean, it took me about a year. I was very busy as a journalist in my student newspaper, but I was also very entrepreneurial. You know, I created the ad department for it and increased its circulation Montreal citywide to create the first ever English listings entertainment or sort of entertainment listings in that city. So I was very entrepreneurial pretty early on, but I was also, you know, a pretty ambitious journalist. And so I broke stories for the paper and that kind of thing. But I went to London. I just went to London and I manifested. I worked for the London Times. I became a business correspondent and a media correspondent. I got to interview people like Steve Jobs. I mean, all kinds of things that really set up my future career as an entrepreneur, but also everything I've done in media since. But I could see it. And same thing when I decided I was going to launch companies. The same thing when I decided I was going to be a TV anchor. And everybody said, you can't do that. And I'm like, how hard could it be? I was just so, and I didn't realize back then what I was doing. But what I was doing is something that a lot of people study now, which is this kind of art, I guess. But it's also increasingly a science of manifestation. When you really can see yourself and you live intentionally in a way that you know what you want. I mean, the sad thing is a lot of people don't know what they want, or they want something and just as quickly as they think they want it, they cancel themselves out of it because we all undervalue ourselves to such a large degree. And so this is a really big part of my meditation practice. And I think the only thing that's happened now that I'm much, much older is that I'm very conscious of the power of this and what happens when I don't do it.
Yes. You know, you have tuned right into the reason why this podcast has two very different words in its name. Wow is open and expressive and, you know, kind of expansive. And whispering, it's a soft, confidential kind of message. And you know, when you started talking about manifesting, Melinda, I heard it in your voice. It's like tuning into what's inside that oftentimes is a very powerful source that then manifests out in the world. And so in a sense, your whispering came from something deep inside you. I can hear it and feel it in your voice. How does that resonate with you?
You know, deeply, actually. And I mean, I'm on this mission, as you know, Diane, because you're a big part of Wings of Success as well, to really help women step into their authentic feminine power and really kind of seize the day, right? Really embrace all that is special about us and our, yes, feminine power. Because we're in a position right now to really transform the world in a way that's really, truly wonderful. We are stepping into, there's something going on, whether it was the Me Too movement or whatever, but women's voices are being heard. And yet, as I'm on this mission to help women with this, I see so many women undervaluing themselves. And it comes out in a number of ways. Underpricing ourselves, over-delivering to clients, playing too small, thinking I'm going to start a 5 or a 6-figure business rather than saying I'm going to start a 7-figure business or even an 8 or a 9-figure business, where we cut ourselves out too early. And at the root of that is a lot of fear. And most recently, I mean, I just came back from a mastermind where 40 of us around a table were all challenged to say what we were going to earn gross revenue in 2019. And I watched as all the men gave, you know, pretty big numbers, all almost without exception in the 7 figures.
Okay, and just for people who aren't good at math, 7 figures puts you in the million plus
in the million
category.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like the two comma club, right? And so right, and every woman except there were only two of us, and these were all women who are entrepreneurs who have the potential. Because I know their businesses, they have the potential to get to the high 7 figures.
Yeah.
But they were all in the 5 figures. Like, I hope I earn, and it was all I hope. It was all tentative. Like,
oh,
I hope I earn this, and I hope I earn that. And went around and I was one of the last to speak. And I said, wait just a minute here. Why are all the women thinking that they can't do this? Because there's something, yeah. And nobody was conscious of it. We're not conscious of it ourselves, where we're limiting ourselves.
So this, you brought something up remarkable, and I want to hear what people, how people responded in a second, but I want to just tune into something, because you and I, earlier in our careers, we were surrounded by men who were professionals, and we were kind of moving forward. You know, I was in the world of advertising when women didn't go into sales. That isn't how it was done. And I did, and I was the only woman in the room when we would have sales meetings. And I remember thinking, you know, women were often socialized to be, I'm going to say, inclusive, but also to not stick out like a sore thumb, not, you know, jump ahead of anybody else, not be polite and jump ahead in line. So it was interesting to notice that I was, in a sense, being invited into a culture that I wasn't natively a part of. And so, in a sense, women of our generations and even younger are socialized to kind of, I mean, when you said they were aiming for five figures, we're talking about meeting the norm of what's the average median income across this country, and not even getting to $100,000, because that's six figures. It's astonishing that you were able to bring that out on the surface. So I'd love to hear, how did people respond to that? What happened when you pointed that out?
Well, it was interesting. I had a lot of women come up to me privately afterwards and thank me and say, well, now actually, no, I can do better than this. I can. But I mean, they got into, and I think this happens, we set an intention, but just as quickly, if we haven't cleared out a lot of old memories and beliefs and things that limit us, we just as quickly set the counter intention. So you say something like, I'm going to make $1 million. And then just as quickly, that voice inside our head comes back and says, wait a minute, who do you think you are to be able to do that? And then it gets all cluttered with the how. And then that gets into our left brain, and we start thinking of all the different things that we have to do. And then we're burnt out before we even start, right? Because we're constricting. We don't know the ways that this can manifest. So yeah. I'll let you into a little secret in terms of what I've learned in terms of my own meditation practice. I used to stress out about the how, like, how am I going to do that? And I was all in my left brain. I was all like overly analytical, all wrapped up in task lists and things like that.
So instead, for our listeners, this is where the whispering is going to get loud. So you want to pay attention to what Melinda's about to share.
Well, thank you. Yes. I mean, I think this has been revolutionary, certainly in my own life. But now when I do my meditation in the morning, I set intentions for the day rather than tasks. I set intentions in terms of what I want to have had happened by the end of the day, or by the end of the week, or by the end of the month, or by the end of the year. And I state them as if they've already happened.
Okay.
And I feel intense gratitude for the fact that it has happened. And as it's happened, I visualize it. Now, here's what I increasingly am better at doing, which is resisting the temptation to try and get into the how. I got to the point now with the meditation where I literally, I'm praying to God, source, universe, whatever your belief is. I'm just saying, hey, you know that I know that I don't know how all of this is going to happen. So I set the intention. I imagine it completed and done. I visualize that. I feel gratitude for it. And then I let it go.
Well, I love what you're saying, Melinda, because you've hit on the thing that happens when someone has, you could say, a goal. And they may not even be tuned into the intentionality of that goal, because that's a little bit different. Intention is a little bit deeper and softer. But when they have a goal, oftentimes, and this happens for men and women, but particularly for women, it's like, well, now I've got a bunch of tasks. And I love that you use that word, because tasks are all about, what do I have to do? When do I have to do it? How is it going to look? And what is the result going to be? And that gets us in the world in terms of manifestation of, instead of that, we're in the world of trying to control how it's going to show up. And that doesn't really work, does it?
It It doesn't. Whenever I get into that, it doesn't actually work for me. And I think it's an interesting thing for women as well. When we talk about kind of archetypal masculine and feminine energies. Mm-hmm. So Diane, you and I are of a generation where there were no female role models. Everyone that we looked up to, you know, any mentors mm-hmm. we had were invariably men. And I know that I was very much in my masculine energy when I was younger. Literally, I went out into the world like I had to go slay the wildebeest and drag it back on my shoulder, you know, right? And I was all very much in that left brain kind of get it done, very focused kind of energy, which denied my feminine. And by feminine, I mean the archetypal, like the ability to have not, I mean, I've always been empathetic, but it masked things like my intuition, my power yes. to just attract rather than yeah. having to pursue. And so as women, one of the things that we naturally have is this empathy, this ability to collaborate and to be intuitive. And in fact, when we work together, women working together, we actually do release the brain chemical oxytocin. It's a happy chemical. And yet women tend to self-isolate and they don't work with other women necessarily or reach out to have women as mentors. And when we do that, we do so much better. That's actually how we're wired. So I think for the early trailblazers, as women came into the workforce and as women started being executives and as women started being leaders in politics or in business or whatever field, academics, and as we started being entrepreneurs, many of us made that mistake of trying to do it all alone.
Well, we didn't really have, you know, it's funny because I'm a minute or two older than you and I did not have the word mentor in my vocabulary. There was not. It was not anything that anybody talked about, knew about, or expected have happened. So you kind of were on your own. But you have now bridged us into, and I love this because when I was kind of chatting beforehand with Melinda, I was asking her about like, well, is there a wow that we might tune into that you're really experiencing? And here's what Melinda shared. She said, about herself, she said, I'm a super connector. And wherever I go, I create magic by bringing unexpected people together and the outcomes never cease to amaze me. So that is the world of wow, just what you said, not isolating, but connecting. So I'd love to hear more about kind of how you found that to be so empowering for the people that you connect.
Yes, this is interesting because this is something where I had a tendency in my life because I thought that this is what I had to do is just put my head down and work. Yeah. But getting it done, that ticking things off a list, that hitting these milestones, driving results, all of that, like, you know, head down, get it done. And a lot of women yeah. get trapped there. And it's one of the reasons why we don't get to the seven figures. And as soon as I figured out that actually the way men work in within a corporation or as entrepreneurs or however is all about relationship and connection. And it's ironic because women are actually best at that and yet we don't do it. So what's that yeah. about?
Well, and so it's fascinating. We distinguish between life and business. We do it in life, but not in business. And so yes. and men do it in business, but not as much in life.
Exactly. So isn't that funny? And
yeah.
Yes, it is. It is curious. And I mean, I think the real change will happen in the workplace and in our world when we can both men and women get more balanced in terms of that archetypal masculine and feminine energy.
Well, but I'm encouraged by the new generations because they are socializing differently. You can see it and you can experience it and they have different expectations about what those connections mean across the sexes and across even definitions of what their identities are.
Oh gosh, no, this is really true. And so this superpower of mine, it's funny. I mean, I just recently really stepped into it in the last couple of years, but I just found when, I think the first one of these dinners I did was when I was in actually a pretty desperate place. I had been in a a terrible marriage for many years. It just got worse and worse and worse and worse. I was married to a narcissist, alcoholic. He was emotionally and verbally abusive to me. And I lost increasingly my manifestation power. You know that I talked about having kind of earlier in my life, which came naturally to me. Increasingly, because I was told so often that I couldn't do it, that I was like a waste of space, I couldn't do this, that, whatever, right? And this was very much rooted in a jealousy and all sorts of things. But look, I take responsibility for it because there was something in me that accepted that about myself. Otherwise, I would not have been in that situation. And ultimately, I look at it with gratitude because it was the catalyst that allowed me to heal this. But one of the ways that I healed it was just reaching out. It was from this point where I healed initially by doing a lot of gratitude work, you know, really just finding things to be grateful for. And I just started reaching out to people. So I had a dinner. I thought, oh, well, I think the first one I did was in Toronto, and I just called up a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, some I knew, some I didn't know, and just said, hey, I'm having a dinner. Why don't we all get together? Because I sensed that entrepreneurs tend to be lonely, tend to be right, very isolated. And so if I felt that way,
we're usually the only one in the room with a particular vision. So we're kind of used to going it alone, you know?
Yes. And people who are not entrepreneurs have no idea what our lives are actually like and what we carry. It can be very lonely. So I just thought, wow, like if I'm feeling like this, then others must be. So I pulled this dinner together and it was so remarkable. It was scheduled for 2 hours. It lasted 8 hours. I mean, we weren't even leaving until like 2 a.m. And nobody would let me pay because there was such a value created. And then a lot of those people went on to be great friends. There were business deals done as a result of it. There was all this kind of unexpected goodness. And so from there, I just vowed to just do it regularly. And just last week, I had one of these dinners in Austin. The week before that, I had one again in Toronto. And you know that I had one in Los Angeles because you came to it.
It was fantastic. And you know what is amazing about, you know, what I love about Melinda is when she is saying she does something, she really does do it. It actually happens in real life. All of the people, I think everybody there knew you but didn't know each other. And that is an extraordinary, well, there were two people who knew each other because they had just started working together. But what I mean to say is that Melinda not only brings people together, I mean, that's just a matter of the mechanics of time and space. But what Melinda did and does in this connecting is she takes the initiative to highlight people and what she has learned and discovered about them and gives them a chance to shine individually. And then that allows connections to occur between them. And so I want to say that what is wow about what Melinda is saying, and this was a combination of men and women at this dinner. So it wasn't all men or all women. It was a way for the individual strengths and the individual, I'm going to say, interests and even needs of people could come forward in a safe way, in a, I'm going to say, a supported and inclusive way, and discover possibilities for future connections with each other, even further with Melinda. And it felt relaxed. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, now we're all on, we have to be pressured to be at our best. No, it was just being human beings together, enjoying a meal and enjoying meeting each other.
Yes, indeed. No, it was wonderful. I mean, it was so curious too. I mean, there were some, speaking of magical things that happened, one of the people at the dinner was just very, very quiet. And then, you know, halfway through came up to me and said, you know, you won't believe this, Melinda, but this other woman that you invited to the dinner, one of my best friends has been trying to fix me up with her.
Oh, how great.
And like for months, right? And then,
wow.
Right? And suddenly they were both there together. And it, I don't know. I mean, it's funny when things like that happen. But look, we can't succeed on our own. I mean, we need help. And women, I've found, are universally terrible at asking for help. We do the equivalent of cleaning the house before the housekeeper comes.
And, oh, sure.
And we do that in business, which is disastrous because honestly, if you're not out talking to your customers before your product is perfected, you're too late into the market. You need your customers or your would-be customers to make you better. So if you wait until it's perfect in your own mind, it's too late and you've built something perfect for you, but not necessarily for your customers. As women, we need to do the equivalent of getting messy in the schoolyard. Just like the little boys, you know, sort of run around, you see them and they don't mind. They knock each other down and they get up and it's no hard feelings and they skin their knees and they get dirty and it's okay. Girls tend to collaborate very well together and all take turns and that's all nice, but that's the thing, collaborate together. That gets lost when we become older. So how can we do the equivalent of sort of getting messy, like, you know, you know, taking like imperfect products and services to our customers and learning from them and also reaching out and really working together to get the help we need, right? Like really connecting people like, hey, Diane, I know someone that would really help you with your new podcast or hey, you know, here's a client that or a potential client or wow, you're launching a technology business. How can I invest? Here's a check for $10,000 or whatever it is, right?
Well, there's a term in business that I would say applies to life. And I want to just be mindful of, Melinda and I are going to stretch the definition of business and in this following way. It is not simply just about buying and selling. It's also about any passion or purpose that you have. You may be involved in a not-for-profit organization, or you may be involved in a community effort, or you may be involved in a major family relationship situation that extends to extended family. Here's what I'm getting at. There's a term I'm going to use in business called beta testing, and we think of it connected with technology companies, but I beta tested my first book that I wrote before I even sent the final version to the publisher. I had a dozen readers who read it to see what I was missing that I couldn't see because I was too close to it. And what was great was a couple of my beta testers didn't even read it. And I wanted to make sure they knew that was not wrong. I wanted to find out why. And the finding out why gave me some clues about what to do to make it more accessible. So sometimes when you beta test something, and what I mean by that is whether it's a project or a business or a passion project that you're doing for a community, you want to find out the things you can't see by yourself. So that's where, even before you get to the sort of the formalities of collaboration, you want to find out what's missing from your vision, because it may be a big chunk that would make a huge difference to the world. Would you agree with that kind of notion of kind of stepping beyond the usual beta testing definition?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I think that's a wonderful way of saying it. No, I mean, I can't add anything to it. It's great.
I'm sure you could. You know, what I love about Melinda is that she always looks for what the gold is inside someone. And I know that when she did her summit, what I loved, I was watching some of the episodes with some of the expert women that you had as your guest. And with every woman, Melinda was like, oh, I want to learn about that. Oh, I want to include that. I want to test that out myself. So she is an example of something that I think makes the difference in living as individuals, whatever our constraints are. Because guess what? Truth be told, we have our hassles, we have our problems, and we are choosing to look at how that builds and strengthens us. And Melinda was gracious enough to share some of her personal challenges. And what that is a reminder of is that there's going to be moments where, oh my gosh, this thing that really feels impossible is going to jump right out at you. And that's when you want to look to all the messages that you've allowed into your life from other people that can help you get out of that rabbit hole you may go down into that says, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. So Melinda is really showing us that that's not the place you end up. That's only a momentary bus stop on the way to something that's going to open up a brand new possibility you couldn't see before this moment, right?
Mm. Oh gosh, this is really, really true. I mean, often there are things that happen in your life. You can think that this is exactly the path you have to go on, and you can put blinkers on, right? And miss opportunities. So if you believe, as I do, that we live in a universe that is abundant, like there's everything you need. It's abundant. Right? Everyone is an acorn. Everyone has everything inside themselves that they need to bloom, to grow. Now, one of the secrets of this, though, is knowing what your true purpose and passion actually is in life. Like, what is it that makes your heart sing? How does that align with your talents? What is your mission? What is the thing that's beyond money or transaction, that's more transformational or even transcendental? Like, what is the thing that you love to do? Because when you're in alignment with that, your chances of success are so much higher, because I don't know, it's an interesting thing. The universe just sort of conspires in an interesting way. And I personally know this to be true, because I've launched businesses before where I'm out of alignment with the business. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, it's not really based on my core strengths. It's what I think I should be doing, you know, what I think is a good opportunity, but it's not really like from my soul. And I've been in other businesses where it is truly in alignment. The ones that are in alignment, all kinds of miracle things happen. Like, the right people seem to show up at the right time. Like, I tend to spot opportunities and act on them with a sense of kind of joy or excitement or fun. Now, in the businesses that I've done that I'm not in alignment, everything seems hard. You know, you go two steps forward and then you get like kicked in the head, right?
It's interesting, because you're raising a really important point. And I'm sort of jumping into the role of listening here. And I notice that a little voice can come up and say, but what if I don't know my purpose? And what if it just seems really hard and there's all these task after task, difficult things to do? That doesn't mean that you can't discover your purpose in the process of being in action and noticing what your, I'm going to say, what your capacity for growth is. And that's what, here's, for example, you know, if I had known that one of my favorite things to do would be to talk online using technology, I would have done it 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 50 years ago. The problem was the technology didn't exist then, but now it does. So did that mean that my life wasn't fulfilled before then? Well, what I was doing was I was accumulating experiences, good, bad, indifferent, painful, joyful. So now when the technology shows up where I can have my little iPad, my little teeny earphones in my head as my microphone, I now have experience in life to share and to listen for others and support them in their discoveries. So in other words, none of it's wasted if we have an expectation that growth can keep continuing. Would you say that may be a way out of those darker moments where it just feels like you don't know the answer and it's not showing up in the next 5 minutes?
Absolutely, because often we don't know the answer. People say that growth often happens when, if you think of yourself on a boat of some kind and you leave the shore, okay, but you can't see the other shore yet.
Yes.
Okay, and so when we're in those uncomfortable places, there's some way to take comfort from it, because I know, and I've learned this, I know that I am growing when I feel uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh. I love that. So let me just say, I'm having so much fun talking with Melinda. We're going to go a little bit longer in our episode, but I want to just take a short break here. And we're going to be featuring in our podcast some folks who are doing amazing work to give to others in the world. So we're going to be right back in a second in our conversation with Melinda. And stay with us. We have more to talk about, more secrets to reveal. We'll be right back. Thank you for being with us on Wow Whispering. In every episode, we present a public service announcement that highlights resources committed to uplifting our quality of life. Look for the episode show notes, which have links to learn more. Now, today, we are pleased to feature Rosie's Place. On Easter Sunday in 1974, a woman named Kip, with four other volunteers and $250 donated by friends, opened the doors to Rosie's Place in the empty Rosen's Supermarket on Columbus Avenue in Boston's South End. It was the first women-only shelter in the United States. They chose the name Rosie's Place because it held no connotations and sounded like it could be a women's coffee house or a favorite aunt's kitchen. Rosie is no one in particular, yet all the women that are served. A decision was made at the outset to accept no city, state, or federal money to ensure that Rosie's Place maintained its independence from outside demands, policies, and prejudices. On opening day in 1974, there were more volunteers than guests. Small pink notices that read, "If you need a meal, come here and we'll help you," were distributed among women in the neighborhood. From that day, the word about Rosie's Place spread and the number of women who came began to grow. Four decades later, Rosie's Place has evolved from providing meals and shelter at that former supermarket to a multi-service agency that works to create answers for 12,000 women a year through wide-ranging support, housing, and education services. Here's what they say. They know that coming to Rosie's Place for most guests is an admission of defeat. For her, that first day in Rosie's community is probably one of her worst days. She arrives considering herself a collection of problems, of faults, homeless, hungry, jobless, maybe addicted or ill. Right from the start, everyone at Rosie's works to turn that around, to hold in their hearts the image of a strong and dignified woman who can make decisions that help her go where she wants to go. Find out more about Rosie's Place. You will be inspired. Thank you. And we're back with Melinda Wittstock. Now, at the end of our show, I'm going to share with you how to get in touch with her. But right now, I want to ask you, Melinda, when you think of being wowed by others, because sometimes that expression, that word, you know, it's a funny thing. I looked it up in the dictionary, and the definition in the dictionary didn't really fit what I noticed about when people say the word wow. It's almost like it's from, I believe, the 16th century in Scotland is where that word started to show up in human vocabulary. But we never get definitions of it. Nobody ever says, what does wow mean? What do you mean by that? We just say it and we know it. So it's an expression, and sometimes it comes from something we notice about either other people or an experience. I'm wondering, does anything come to mind that has wowed you, that you found yourself really almost kind of like stunned by or stopped by?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I'm blessed to say a lot of things. So, I mean, one of the things, the first thing that came to mind is usually the thing to go with, I guess, right? So couple of years ago, I found myself in a really interesting situation. I am part of a wonderful entrepreneurs group called Maverick 1000. And in this entrepreneurs group, we all get together and we do a lot of things. Like we just have a lot of fun, get out of our kind of comfort zones by doing things we wouldn't otherwise normally do. Like this is how I found myself playing polo in Argentina one time, which I never would have set out to actually do. But we do a lot of work with charities where we apply our entrepreneurial skills and our marketing skills and financial skills and other to really advance really deserving charities. And one of these was the Pachamama Alliance, which is working to preserve the Amazon rainforest from being kind of cut down, because the Amazon really is the lungs of the planet. Without that, we would have a difficult time sustaining life on Earth. And there is a lot of science, proven science behind this. So we were working with Pachamama Alliance, and as entrepreneurs do, are pretty competitive people, you know, we were all in these different tables competing to be the business plan and the marketing plan that was chosen, you know, by the Pachamama. But we didn't know what we were competing for. We were just competing to compete. And my table won. And I won a trip to the Amazon rainforest.
Oh my goodness.
Completely unexpected. But long story short, several months later, I'm there. I'm in the Ecuadorian Amazon, completely off the grid. I mean, it's not mapped by Google. Your cell phone certainly would not work. And with a bunch of other entrepreneurs and authors and really interesting people, there are about 25 of us, and the founders of Pachamama. And we meet a tribe that only met the outside world at that time, 20 years before. So I guess 22 years ago now, who said to us a couple of things. If you think you're coming here to help us, nope, actually you're coming here to help yourself. They taught us so much, but also just being in the middle of the rainforest, meditating by yourself, as we did, and some of the other experiences, I felt a connection to the world, to the trees, to the plants, to each other or whatever that I had never really felt before. Looking up in the middle of the night at the sky and seeing so many stars, it looked like it was snowing. That kind of breathtaking thing. There were so many realizations that I had about the balance of the planet, the balance of our masculine and feminine energies, but also most importantly, why I'm here. And that was a wow moment that came in the form of a whisper. And I think that's why I thought of it. Amazing transformational things happen when we take the time to silence. Like, I think the wows often happen as whispers. When we take the time to actually silence ourselves or get out of our normal routines or do something that we never would have otherwise do. Just even doing things like opposite, like if you normally brush your teeth with your right hand, brushing with your left hand. I mean, they can be things as small as that, but just to change the patterns or help us get out of our ruts, you know, in the way that we think.
I love it. And on that note, we are going to, I'm going to speak for both of us and issue a marvelous challenge to our brand new audience. And that is to consider that in life, every day, you have whispers coming your way and you have wows coming your way. And what I invite you to do is to open up to noticing them and noticing the contribution they make to not only your life, but the life of people around you. And so on that note, I wanted to say, Melinda, it is such an honor to have you as my very first guest on our very first episode of Wow Whispering. You are perfection. I'm so pleased.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. I love that. I mean, I just feel so honored that you chose me as your first guest. And I know your podcast is going to be tremendously successful. I'm so excited to see all the lives that you're going to lift, Diane, with all that you do. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Now, I promised our listeners that I would tell you how to reach Melinda, and I'm going to tell you her website. It's going to be really easy. It's her name, MelindaWitstock.com. But let me spell it for you. It's MelindaWitstock.com. Because guess what? URLs have to be precise. Now, she's also on social media. So you can find her on Instagram as MelindaWitstock2020. You can find her on Facebook as I Am Melinda Witstock. And then she also has a Facebook page for her Wings podcast. That's W-I-N-G-S podcast. And then you can find her on Twitter as Melinda Wings. So there are many ways to reach out to a woman who is really out there in the world, encouraging people, really being a stand for women stepping up into their power so that men and women together can really expand and really create a quality of life on this planet that we all want and need in the deepest recesses of our heart. Oh, and one more thing I want to mention is that Melinda has a very particular opportunity for folks who are listening here today, and I want to make sure we share that with you. So Melinda, could you let us know what that is?
Absolutely. Well, I brought together 60 extremely high-performing women, including Diane, all with 6, 7, 8, and 9-figure businesses, and many with best-selling books, and to share their secrets for how they have succeeded across what I call mindset, mojo, and money, because all three things are linked. And it's a summit that is free to attend. You can attend anytime. It's an evergreen summit. So all you have to do is go to wingssummit.com. And there are a number of other opportunities there to get involved in a growing Wings inner circle. And it's really all about what you need, both women and men, to really get into alignment and really truly live the lives and have the businesses and the impact that you dream about. And so I'm excited to invite you all there, wingssummit.com.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that is so generous of you. I'm very excited that people are going to get to really hear some extraordinary messages and some real specifics about the how-to of creating success. So thank you for that, Melinda. So we are going to skedaddle along now, and thank you so much, everyone, for being with us. What a pleasure to be with you in the world of Wow Whispering. As we complete this episode, I invite you to notice the wows and whispers that enliven or challenge as they fulfill life for you in both tiny moments and transforming experiences. I wish you the very best until we meet next time.